G'day punters and welcome into another episode of the Tripod. And today we will be breaking down State of Origin Game 3, the decider. We've gone 1-1 on our best bets so far in Game 1 and 2, but feel like we're seeing the ball a little bit better for Game 3 at Suncorp. Jacob, how you doing, buddy?
Can't complain, mate. We've got a decider in Origin, and I know it hasn't felt quite the same with it being, you know, off-season after the NRL. It's still a Game 3 with everything to play for instead of Origin, which is, you know, the highest level of rugby league, which is our favourite sport. So plenty to be excited about, and we can't wait to dive into the game, and we think we've got a best bet winner as well.
We certainly do, and honestly, like, we're impartial when we give out our best bet. Some people say we're one-eyed, but, I mean, we said we leaned New South Wales. Last game didn't quite get a best bet on it, but I mean, as a Queensland supporter, we couldn't have really asked for anything more than to have a live rubber at Suncorp in Game 3. If you gave that to us before Game 1, we definitely would have taken it. Let's put the odds up here on the board. So obviously, this one being played at Suncorp Stadium on Wednesday, Queensland are 6.5-point underdogs, and the total sitting at 41.5 points. So a little bit of a line move from the one from Game 2 where the line was about 9.5, but obviously there has been some changes to the team list as well, Jacob, and I'm just going to pop those up in front of your face and just go through them very quickly, and then I'll ask your thoughts about it. So look, New South Wales with no changes to their lineup, but in the Queensland side we've got Philip Sammy gone, replaced by Corey Allen on the wing for now. I mean, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if maybe Allen goes to fullback and Valentine Holmes to wing. Christian Welch starts at prop. He's back. And that pushes Mo Fotuaker out of the team. And Jacob, you'd be very happy with this one. Harry Grant gets to start in number 14, replacing Ben Hunt on the bench. What do you think about Queensland's changes?
Yeah, overall positive for Queensland. You called out Philip Sammy, certainly was, you know, found out a little bit in Game 2. Corey Allen, what a rise. I mean, he's a reserve grade player if this year started like normal, but he finds himself in the Rabbitohs team and now in the Queensland side. And that's an interesting point you make, that it's not guaranteed he'd be on the wing. And you've got to think about that as well when you're looking at your first try scorer and your anytime try scorer. That is a real possibility because he played very well at fullback where he filled in for Latrell for the Bunnies. Christian Welch definitely boosts the Queensland's pack. And Harry Grant definitely adds that X factor off the bench which they could need. Like, and I hope that he gets a decent amount of game time, not just a couple of 10-minute cameos. I think you can have him on the field with Jake Friend and play Jake Friend in the middle. So overall positive for Queensland. And for New South Wales, well, they had no weaknesses in Game 2. They played, you know, so well. Everyone deserved their spot. Everyone stepped up and, you know, and they answered a lot of question marks that we talked about in the recap. So, of course, you pick the same team with all the marbles on the line.
Yeah, I totally agree. And like you mentioned, I said Philip Sammy looked out of his depth there. And Corey Allen's been, you know, a great player all season long. And you mentioned it, like, he's, you know, played some at fullback this year for the Rabbits. And, you know, we know Valentine Holmes can play on the wing, so that's fine. Christian Welch definitely boosts it because Queensland forwards got absolutely ripped to shreds in Game 2. And I think, yeah, Harry Grant is a really good addition. You mentioned it, that he should have been the starting hooker for Queensland. But look, you can't really knock out Jake Friend for what he's done. I mean, he's played, you know, up to his level, and he hasn't been one of Queensland's weakest, that's for sure. But I think it's a great addition to get Harry Grant in there, even if he subs in Jake Friend for a little bit, because, I mean, Jake Friend makes a million tackles every single week, and, you know, that gives him not only a little bit of a spell, but also a little bit more of that spark that Queensland probably need. And we should also mention Munster named, obviously, in the halves, but, you know, still not a lock to start after that concussion hit.
And let's move on to our first point. You mentioned the line in Game 1 climbed all the way to 10. The line in Game 2 climbed to 10. So, of course, Queensland should be very happy when one game's very close, comes down to the final second, and one's a blowout, and you win the close one and you get blown out. You're happy to be 1-1 when you were a 10-point underdog twice. And now we've got the line lower, but with good reason. This game is in Queensland. It's in the fortress, and it is interesting. Like, we first of all need to identify how much is home field worth, and we know that there's a few advantages. For one, you've got your screaming fans. For another, game day travel. One team is going to be in camp in Queensland and, you know, sleep and, you know, in the camp there and wake up and get a short bus to the stadium, and the other one is going to have to fly on the day of the game. So there's some advantages, not to mention Queensland government lifting the restrictions to do the Maroons a big favor and basically allow a full house, so over 50,000, which would make it the biggest crowd of all of 2020 for a rugby league, a game, I think that I can make an argument that this home field advantage is worth 4 points. I really believe it's such a big swing when you take New South Wales out of their comfort zone. And let's look at the last 2 years of series. 2018, New South Wales won the series. They won both games outside Queensland. They lost the game that was in Queensland. 2019, New South Wales won the series. They won both games outside Queensland. They won the... Sorry, they yeah, and they lost the game in Queensland. So Queensland's undefeated in the last 2 years at home, even though they've lost the series, for what it's worth.
Yeah, and I think you mentioned it. Look, I probably said 3 points, but you might not be too far off because you told me today, and I wasn't aware, that they had lifted those restrictions and they were allowed a full house, which obviously makes a fair bit of difference, because I was kind of saying, you know, state of origin, it's always, you know, a bit more of a home field advantage than a regular season game in the NRL, and, you know, a half full stadium is obviously not worth as much as a packed Suncorp stadium. So 3 to 4 points, I think we're probably bang on the money. And in terms of the line move, obviously, you know, like you said, we've had that bit of a line move, but obviously got to, you know, upgrade New South Wales a little bit and maybe downgrade Queensland off the game two performance. And that's perhaps why the line hasn't moved quite as much as we would have thought it had. Let's move on to coaching, Jake, because I think it is interesting. And I think we spoke about this before game one, but I think it probably means even more before game three, because now both coaches have had two games to kind of feel each other out and make some adjustments. And obviously Queensland has made some adjustments for game three. Who do you see having the coaching edge in this one?
Well, I go back to that fact that Freddie, 2-0 in the series coaching, and he is winless in Queensland, for what it's worth. And I also think there's an advantage to Wayne Bennett in the fact that because he was coaching club football this year, he has had a full season to coach under the new rules and really feel how they impact a game, and they do like never before. And if you looked at any NRL side and said which side improved the most towards the end of the year, I think you'd have to say South Sydney improved their level of footy more than any other side, and you've got to give a lot of credit to coaching. It's not like they had a lot of good players that were out and came back in. As I mentioned, they lost Latrell, they filled in spots, and they were playing some phenomenal footy towards the end of the year. I mean, essentially, just ran out of petrol, pushed Penrith all the way in the prelim, and they had to go the long way around. So I think Wayne Bennett, having been in amongst it with his rule changes all year, has the advantage there as well. And look, I love the fact that he's not the kind of coach that will panic after losing by 24 in game two. I think, as we said, they're going to be happy the situation they're in. They're going to be calm. They're going to get a good preparation. So as great of a coach as Freddie is, and we've generally been pretty positive about like the direction that, and the, you know, and the team selections that he's made and the way that he has the Blues playing since he's taken over, I think that the coaching edge is still to the master, Wayne Bennett.
I actually agree as well, and I'd have it as a slight edge to Wayne Bennett. I mean, like you said, you know, Brad Fittler obviously knows what he's doing out there, but I mean, Wayne Bennett's been around for a long time, and I think he's had a long enough history now of making, you know, solid adjustments, not only pre-game, but also in-game as well. I mean, we've seen some of the stuff that he's done, you know, in his halftime speeches, some changes there. So I think he's going to be better off for that. Plus, I just think, as well, just situationally, right? If you're the coach whose team got thumped in the previous game, you just have more to work with in terms of adjustments and that kind of thing. So I think Wayne Bennett will make the necessary adjustments in this one. Let's move on to, you know, question marks, Jacob, on the New South Wales team. Could be roster-wise, could be, you know, what they have to continue on from game two. Maybe I'll start with this one. I think, you know, the question mark for New South Wales is, can the forwards dominate like they did in game two? You know, they had 50% more run meters over Queensland, which is honestly unheard of in an Origin game where it's usually fairly tight. And, you know, I think it all comes down to the forwards, honestly, because in game one, the Queensland forwards matched New South Wales. In game two, they didn't. It allowed, you know, Cleary to kick on the front foot. It allowed all their playmakers, you know, good field position to show off their skills and that sort of thing. So I think that's the big one for New South Wales, because if they win the forward battle, they win the game.
And in terms of personnel, you'd give them the edge. They've got more experienced, you know, more accomplished players in their forward pack. But I don't think whether they win the forward battle is really necessarily up to them. It's whether Queensland can hang with them or not. And as you said, that Queensland actually won that in the middle in game one. New South Wales did in game two. But why was that? It wasn't just the players. I think it was the home crowd. It was the energy. It was the added desperation. it was the fact that their halves played better, their outside backs played better as well, and you know, Cookie was creating havoc in the middle too. So, and I think also the style of play, which we'll get to later in terms of how is the game refereed, how are the teams going to play, because a more open affair is going to suit New South Wales with those players that get quick play the balls, whereas you know, more of an arm wrestle style game like game one is going to suit the Queenslanders. I'll go all the way to the number one jersey. So Teddy, I think it was very fair to question him before game one because it was his first game coming off that knee injury. Yep. And he came back early. I think it was quite unfair to question him before game two. I know people were, just because New South Wales lost, but really he was good in game one. It wasn't his fault they lost 300 metres. And there's no questions about Teddy. He's as good as any player on the planet. We saw that in game two. In the back line, I mean, Jack Whiten has not dominated a game. I'd argue has not dominated any game at Origin level the way he can. Now, is there anything wrong there? Is he, you know, not at full strength? I mentioned that he limped off the field at the end of game one. He did score the dagger, you know, winning try, essentially that try that iced the game, being the team to score first in the second half last match. I'd be worried that he's still got something up his sleeve, and he's someone that, if Queensland doesn't control, could be the reason that the Blues lift the shield.
Yeah, and to be fair, I guess it is a lot easier to get involved in stuff in the halves rather than at centre. But you're right, you know, been his normal dominating self. Let's move on to Queensland.
Well, I've got one other question, continue. Mark. And let's see, is this fair? The New South Wales halves, so Walker and Cleary. Now, you could say, where's the question mark? You could not have had a better combination performance by your halves possible than what they delivered in game two. Yep. And all I would say is kind of echo what I just said before, like the forward pack was rolling. Cook was probing. The outside backs were dynamite. The crowd was buzzing. Those may not all be the same situation and circumstances in this match. Can they win a game, you know, in enemy territory? So that, I think, and neither of them, have won games in Queensland before. I think that is a fair to at least ask the question, even if you feel, you know, they're so strong that the answer is that you're not worried about the New South Wales halves anymore.
It is an interesting point you make, because, I mean, we go back to game one, and I know, you know, throughout the entire NRL season, Nathan Cleary was the best player in the NRL, there's no question. And then game one, he wasn't very good, and things didn't quite go their way. And obviously, you know, Cody Walker didn't play game one, but we've kind of seen that with that Rabbitohs team, you know, and not saying it's, you know, all Cody Walker, but it is part of it, you know, that Rabbitohs team, once they get a roll on, things are coming easy, they can put on a score on some people, and then, you know, when the opposite happens and they have to get in a dogfight, sometimes not so good. So those are fair questions to bring up in regards to the New South Wales halves. In terms of Queensland, obviously, I'd just flip it and say, like, can the forwards hang? Because I think they really, really need to. You know, it's 1,800 metres to 1,100 metres in game two, which is absolutely ridiculous. So they need to hang. I think Christian Welch adds something, definitely helps to have him there for game three. The biggest question mark, I think, is Munster's health. Obviously, we say that he's good enough to go. The Queensland team saying that he's over that concussion, he's fine. But if he's not 100%, geez, it puts a lot of pressure on Cherry Evans. We've said that this Queensland team is not full of playmakers like the New South Wales squad is. And, you know, to be fair on Cherry, like, he's a good player, but he's not gonna come up with those brilliant plays that win you the game, which sometimes you need one or two little bits of brilliance in Origin to win a game. And I think thirdly is just Harry Grant, because he is a spark that could be, you know, a huge question mark for Queensland. Not a question mark for Queensland, but, like, how much playing time is he going to get? I agree with you, Jacob. I'd want him to see, you know, at least like 40 minutes or 30 minutes of game time at least, because I really think that whenever he had the ball for the Tigers this year, you were just scared. Like, you did not want him to touch the ball, especially, you know, in the opposition 10 or 20 metres. So those are mine, but it's mainly the forwards. If they can hang, Queensland's going to be able to hang in this one.
You know, I'm not worried about Cam Munster at all. I think he's had a cracking season, and I actually think he's going to be dynamite on Wednesday night. And I said in the recap, the fact that Queensland already came out and said he didn't even fail the HIA. It was just like a sub, you know, clause of the protocol that because he got up wobbly, the HIA was redundant, that he wouldn't come back on. Yeah. I look at it this the other direction, that he's out freshen up. Yeah. And I look at the halves battle, and I think that Queensland still has the better halves. I actually trust Inner Decider, DCE and Munster with their experience. And, you know, I think Munster on his best night is even better than Cody Walker on his best night. And, you know, I think, and DCE is that steady hand, that captain. But you just made the point again, like, it comes back to the forward battle. And that's why I'm saying it's not that simple to say Queensland's halves played better in game one, so they won. New South Wales halves played better in game two. But why do you play better? Because you get those faster play the balls, because there's less kick pressure, and because on your team you got better kick chase. Like, as I said in the recap, I think these guys don't choose when or when not to have a good kicking night. Yep. They're all, you know, world-class kickers of the football, but it's all the intangibles around it. So it comes back to the pack, very worthwhile questioning. I got another big question mark. Goal kicking. Queensland won game one thanks to the conversions by DCE. And that was as fluky as you get. They didn't even pick him to kick conversions in game two. Yeah. They picked Valentine Holmes, who's no sharpshooter, but they just knew, like, DCE is probably 70% at best, but just had the night of his life with the boot. And Val might be, I don't know, low 70% and takes pressure off the captain. And Cleary was clicked a lot better in game two. And I would say that edge could easily be worth 2 points to New South Wales in this game. I think there's a sideline conversion that Val misses that Cleary makes quite easily. So that cuts down the advantage that I'm saying Queensland has being at home. The biggest question mark I've got for Queensland is the back three.
Mm.
You know, it was a very tough re-entry to the Origin Arena for Val last week. He was very fairly contained. I can't judge fully, like, oh, he's not the same player he used to be, because Queensland got trampled, so it's very hard to kind of star and have opportunities. What about Xavier Coates? Man, he was targeted all night. They were kicking to him deliberately so they could bash him.
Yeah.
So he would, like, lose, you know, confidence in the game. Even after that miraculous early try, he also had errors that led to New South Wales points. And then you got Corey Allen.
I'm sorry, I should mention real quick. Yeah, you mentioned it, but, like, Coates, once again, a little bit banged up for this one. And, you know, they mentioned that Brenko Lee's been training on the wing at training just in case he's not good to go. But at this point, it seems like he's going to be fine.
Right. So, and that's further worrying as well. This kid's 19. We know he's got all the talent, but it's a different story. Have to play three Origins in, you know, in 14-day period. And after he got bashed last week, and then Corey Allen on debut, and even if he slots, whether he plays fullback or wing, I know he's done both for South Sydney, but you're just not looking at him as the kind of player that's going to win you the game. You're looking at him as a player that you're just hoping will hold his own out there. So there certainly are question marks for both sides that, you know, and whoever answers them favourably could probably get the win on Wednesday.
Indeed, and Wayne Bennett probably knows better than I do, but I mean, I think I would go with, you know, Corey Allen at fullback, and I think I'll just slot Valentine Holmes in on the wing. I think that's a bit of a safer option and gives them better chance.
But then you'd
of
have your third fullback, three different fullbacks in three games as well. So you're losing continuity while New South Wales has the best on the planet.
Yes,
so
100%.
It is tough whichever way you go, but there is a good argument for that. And Val is a natural try-scoring finisher on the wing too.
Indeed. Let's get to the last question mark, Jacob, before we get to our best bet for the game. Which team's under more pressure? I guess I'll kick this one off. I think it has to be New South Wales. They were prohibitive favourites, biggest favourites that someone's been in, a team has been in Origin for ages. I can't even remember a time where, you know, a team started as double-digit favourites, essentially two games in a row in Origin, and people saying this is the greatest New South Wales team ever, this is the worst Queensland team ever. So if they butcher this one, you know, they're not going to live it down for a long time, going for the three-peat, all that sort of stuff. Whereas Queensland, they've known the whole time. They're underdogs. No one gave them a chance at winning this Origin, and now they find themselves in a Game 3. I know it's cliche to say nothing to lose, because obviously there is an Origin to lose, but, you know, obviously I think more pressure is going to be on this New South Wales team, who everyone thought would just clean sweep this Origin. So I think New South Wales is certainly going to feel it a little bit more.
I agree, and you look at how close that finish was. In fact, I put up an image of the very final moment of Game 1 where Queensland had about one player to left of the goalpost.
Yeah, yeah.
Obviously, they had Kaufusi in the bin, and they were dead set about four players lying on trying to make sure that final play, the ball by Teddy, never happened.
Yep.
And they ultimately achieved that. But had New South Wales been out, you know, if there was a couple more seconds earlier in that referee headset before he blows full time, I mean, they quite easily get the ball out to Adokar and Cody Walker, and New South Wales scores. And I just wonder, in the back of their mind, they're not kind of thinking, man, we should have kind of already have won this series.
Yep.
That's how close game one was. And yeah, if you want to say, oh, Queensland's under more pressure because they're at home, I don't buy that.
Nah.
I think Queensland's at home, You lost by 24 last week, but you've got the confidence that this game can be different for a number of reasons, and one is you're going to feed off the crowd. I think being at home is nothing but a positive. I don't think it heaps pressure. I think when you've been called the worst team in Origin history, as you said, and when you've been that big of an underdog, you definitely are not the side under the blowtorch. I think that's New South Wales, and I'm going to also add to that, who's going to be under pressure? Sutton, again, the referee, right? Because, as we say, the biggest advantage in this game is the New South Wales outside backs. So we know that depending on how the game is played, it's going to favour one side or the other. A slower play the ball and a shorter 10 metres is clearly going to favour Queensland. And I just have no doubt that the Maroons will push the boundaries on this. They're playing in front of a packed house. It's, you know, I just feel like human nature is that you're reluctant to just penalise the Queensland out of the game. And if they're infringing every play, you can't call it every play. So that is going to be obviously a massive, massive how that, you know, the referee deals with that in terms of which side gets ascendancy as well. And I think that is going to, refereeing will favour Queensland because they're at home. You do have that natural influence over 50-50 decisions.
Absolutely, and especially because it's a packed stadium. It's the first time we've had that basically all year long in the NRL, and it's going to be loud there. And you're right, it's human nature. You know, you hear the crowd, and we've seen dozens of times before, you know, the ref's not going to blow a pen, and then he hears the crowd yelling and screaming, and then, okay, yes, it's a high tackle or whatever. So I think you're right. You pretty much made all your points there, Jacob, but the way that we're leaning is towards Queensland. We do think they can keep it tight in this one and possibly even score the outright upset as 6.5-point dogs. So our best bet, it's actually going to be a same game multi. It's essentially either team to win 1-12, but we've added a little spice to it. You're going to go into Sportsbet same game multi. You're going to take Queensland plus 13.5 points in the pick your own line section, and you're going to take New South Wales plus 12.5 in the, it's literally called plus the word 12.5 section, and it ends up being $1.80. So basically, that is, you know, either team 1-12, except you get to Queensland plus 13.5. So although we like, you know, we were leaning towards Queensland plus the 6.5 points, we think this one's a little bit better. We get 4 extra points or 5 extra points on the Queensland handicap, and we really can't see, even though we like Queensland, we can't really see them beating New South Wales 13 plus in this one.
Exactly. Like, we're not sitting on the fence with this best bet. This is the type of bet that we like to take when a team is over a converted try underdog, but less than 2 converted tries. So let's say they're catching anywhere from kind of 6.5 to 10 points. We often think, well, I think this team can keep it close, but realistically, I don't think they're going to actually be the outright victor by more than 12. So let's play either team 1-12, basically. And if you look around, the best price we could find was $1.72. But in this same game multi, we've got either team 1-12. We've actually even jagging 1 extra point with Queensland, so they could actually lose by 13. And we get $1.80. So I think that's the best way to play this game. And it is the type of play that you like to do if you lean to the underdog and you think they can keep it close.
Especially in an Origin, the totals are a little bit lower than they are during the regular season. And plus, like, even in the regular season, Jacob, we'd take this bet if a team was an 8.5-point underdog. I think one time we even might have taken it when they were a flat 10. You know, and we exactly like the dog, but we don't think it's going to be a blowout. So I think getting this one when the line is 6.5, I think we're doing quite well with that one. Anything else, Jacob, that you want to add before
I mean, springs to mind. We've done it a few times this year. Like, we took the Knights 1 week,
yeah,
and they were about an 8.5-point underdog against the Raiders.
Course, yeah, yeah.
We're like, oh, yeah, they'll keep it close here. And the Knights picked the ball off the ground and ran away and scored and won by 14.
Yeah,
so, I mean,
yeah.
But hey, if Queensland does something like that and pulls a big win, you know, we take our hat off to them. I do think, like, that's genuinely the best way to play this. And it'll be interesting to see if Sportsbet recalculate these odds after, you know, you boys jump on. But that's our last rugby league best bet of 2020.
2020, yeah.
Not only that, I'll wipe a tear away. That is the last rugby league best bet that you are giving out with me on the pod. We should let people know,
yes,
that we're going to be back on Thursday to recap the game in Wide World of Punting, Episode 4. Cashed another Wide World of the Week, Wide World Bet of the
yes,
Week this
did
morning in
you
the
did
Masters, top 10, but we'll talk about that on Thursday as well, and dead
we're
heat.
We're 2 from
pricing.
2 now. We're 2 from 2.
But look, mate, look, we're not going to give too much away, but Thursday's your last pod.
Thursday will be my last pod. It's a sad day, guys, but make sure you join us then. Thursday, we'll be recapping, like Jacob said, we'll be recapping State of Origin Game 3, hopefully a Queensland win. And yeah, it'll be the last one for me on Thursday, but we'll get there when we get there. But in the meantime, enjoy the punt, enjoy State of Origin, and we will catch you guys Thursday, same time, 7 p.m. to recap Origin and also chat a little bit of other stuff. See you then.
Lego.